Welcome to Windy City Sports Talk, Chicagoland's number one podcast for all the latest news and in-depth analysis for the Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, and White Sox. This podcast features exclusive news and expert analysis from well-known Chicago sports reporters and broadcasters. You will also feel the passion and emotions during conversations with other diehard sports fans. Other unique sports topics such as virtual reality and video games are explored as well. It's now time to talk Windy City Sports. Hello and welcome back to Windy City Sports Talk. It's a special edition here. Madden 22 coming out later this week, just a few days until that game releases. And ironically, last year, when I was bored during the pandemic, decided to do some special episodes on the podcast here and talk about, the Madden franchise over the years, the NBA 2K franchise over the years with some of my good friends who also play those games. And the Madden, to this day, the Madden podcast is still the most listened to episode of Windy City Sports Talk. Maybe I just need to become a gaming podcast. I don't know. But I feel like it's time to talk about this game again. One of the games that I'm most passionate about growing up with, haven't really been the biggest fan of that. I would, for anyone that wants to just kind of hear us, me and my friends talk about, you know, the glory days of Madden and just how the game has evolved and changed over time, go back and listen to that podcast. This one will be a little bit more specific on where Madden is today, especially with Madden 22, the trial version coming out, you know, some of the reviews that are coming out early about the game. So I have my good friend, Zach Heilman, the frequent flyer of this podcast. He was one of the guys that was on the podcast. It was about a year ago, I think, when I did that one Madden podcast. So I figured I have to bring him back. He actually just recently purchased an old football game, not Madden. Want to talk to him about that and why he enjoys that. I know he's not a big fan of the current series of Madden either. So Zach, thank you so much for coming on yet again. How have you been? It's been a while.
Hey, I've been doing really well. Kind of just throwing myself into my own podcasting work on the side now. It's at any time, it's one of three shows, but they're all football related. You know, got to keep consistent with what I love most, and it is the gridiron game. So yeah, life's good. You know, things have been pretty dandy, and I can tell you that once again, I'm not buying Madden. Simple as that.
Yeah, I'm with you. But before we get into Madden, you know the drill, like I always like to do. You kind of hinted to all that podcast football work you do. Take a moment to let the listeners know what it is you do, where they could find your content. I'm also curious to know what you've been up to. I see you're pumping out content every week, but now that football seasons are beginning for the multiple leagues that you cover, curious to hear about what you got in store for this season.
Sure thing. So coming up here, you know, I have at least, like I mentioned, I have one of three shows I'm doing at this moment. The main one's always Gridiron Gallery. Every week, you're going to get something football related in the world that is either NFL or anything beyond it, which I'm finally getting back into NFL conversation now that the season's coming up. Just took a hiatus with my buddies, Tony Stanielson, Michael Grimberg. We're going to be doing the Zach, Tony, and Grimbo show again, part of Gridiron Gallery. That's our three-person NFL biweekly show that we do during the season. So we'll be getting back into that once again. Otherwise, you know, CFL's going on, been talking that. I'm at Japanese football, which I'm going to be discussing more on our new Gridiron Japan show that I'm doing with some friends. That one of them actually lives in Chicago. The other is currently living in Japan and is running a Japanese sports publishing site called Inside Sports Japan. So we've been focusing on that. And then the last one, which just kind of wrapped up its main season, but we're still going to do discussions, that's called Inside the Walls. That is an arena football-based podcast focusing on the National Arena League. We just wrapped up with a championship last weekend where the Albany Empire defeated the Columbus, Georgia, that is, Lions in Albany, New York. It was really a good championship game, so we'll be getting another episode out recapping that and talking to the MVP of that game, too. So we'll be a blast. I got a lot going on. Just keep myself busy, it seems, Will. And then we also, for myself, I, along with the other Unhinged members, have joined Belly Up Sports. So we have combined our forces to create Unhinged, powered by Belly Up Sports. It's been a really fun experience talking with those people out there. And if anyone's listening to this show, thank you very much. I'm glad I've joined that ride. It's been a blast so far.
Yeah, I love seeing what Unhinged is doing, especially, you know, we used to have a podcast we did together on there, seeing their most recent updates and where, you know, the direction of the network and those great guys over there. They're doing a lot of great work. And of course, at also includes you, Zach. I know you've done a lot behind the scenes, not only just with your content that you're providing, you know, to the stove there. But yeah, I mean, your work in general. And look, I know podcasting is such an oversaturated market, but just the unique topics and the unique leagues that you cover in football, that's not just, you know, the NFL or college football. I mean, you kind of found a niche there. So if anyone's looking for something sports related, but a little bit different, definitely check out that stuff, because, you know, look, football is one of the greatest sports out there, and it's great to see that there's other leagues and, you know, they should be talked about more and whatnot. So I'm with you on there, but that's enough of the positive stuff, Zach, because now we got to get, you know, now we got to get mad, because, you know, the early, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast,
getting frustrated.
Yes. Yes. You know, I was cool. I was kind of looking forward to Madden 2022 just to see some of these changes and whatnot that they made. But last weekend I was, you know, watching some reviews on YouTube, the people that have played the trial. And I mean, the trial lets you play everything, franchise mode, face of the franchise, you know, the online stuff. So, which is cool. I appreciate that. You let everybody check out, you know, what the full game has to offer, but it's, you know, again, some improvements or some new additions, but at the end of the day, it seems to be the same game that's still flawed. But before we even get into the game itself, I guess the first thing that kind of irked me a little bit, not that it's the end of the world, that means the game's going to suck, but the cover reveal, you know, you have all these players that haven't been on it that are totally deserving. A lot of people were pushing for Derrick Henry to be on the cover, who's arguably the best running back in the league right now.
Look no further. That was myself too.
Yes. And
the same thing.
Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are on the cover together. Also, these guys each were on the cover during their own times at certain points. Brady a little while ago, Mahomes quite recently. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's kind of a slap in the face to some of the other guys in the league that you would argue deserve to be on the cover? And is the Madden curse going to get both of these guys this year?
I don't think the Madden curse gets either one of them. I think you saw Mahomes last year, you know, people thought that it was going to be the case, or 2 years ago, it was almost the case. And then Lamar Jackson, I don't really think it happened to him that much. I mean, yeah, the Ravens slump, but their team also was infected with COVID issues for a good chunk of the season. He was one of those people that was affected with that as well. So Madden curse to me is kind of meh anymore. I think it was more of a 2000s thing. I'll say though that Tom Brady's end of it, I just don't think it works. He's kind of proven that father time doesn't really exist right now for him. So, you know, he's able to outrun anything that you would think is with aging, you know, TB12 method and all, right? I think for the cover, they definitely had so many more options. Madden hasn't really been a franchise that tries to revisit the same athletes again and again if they don't have to. And they really haven't in their history if you look at the covers that they've done in the past. So having both of them on there was really more because it was, well, we had the whole GOAT situation in Super Bowl 54 in 54 here, where it's, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady and they met up and it was so cool. So we can do it this year because, you know, there's still two of the top guys in the league and everyone's like, oh, it's amazing. But in my head, I'm like, you know, and if you're a true football fan, which, you know, again, this is a simulation football game, so it's supposed to be targeted towards the true, like, guys that are interested in football first. You want to do a different player. Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards last year, and that just got slapped away like it was nothing. You know how rare 2,000 yards to rush is for any sort of running back in this league? It doesn't happen often. It's extremely rare. Derrick Henry is the hottest product in the NFL that's not Patrick Mahomes, at least in terms of name and I think marketability. You know, maybe Tom Brady's in that case too, but I digress. Harry Henry sitting there and would have been an easy target to put on the cover, but they, you know, they decided let's not do it. You know, they did the league MVP last year. Why couldn't they do the offensive MVP from this past season or offensive player of the year? I'm a little baffled by it. You know, very simple thing to think about, but that was the first knock on. I'm like, oh, that was a pretty lazy decision. You know, not like EA has been knocked for being lazy on their own game. So why not just start early with the title this year and just pick two people that have already been on there and we know was going to be even the picture was lame. Like, oh, let's just sit on a bench with our helmets off and, you know, look at us. We're so badass. And all I'm thinking is that was how much money did you even spend with them? Most of the paycheck probably was getting them to go to a bleacher. You probably didn't even need a professional cameraman to take that photo, but you sure did.
Your damn phone. It's like a selfie almost, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like I just, you know, held the phone, you know, below us, and our heads are, you know, are above, and it's silly in my opinion. You know, not that the covers really did anything too phenomenal. I mean, honestly, it almost looks like I'm looking at the Madden 2005 cover right now with Ray Lewis. It's like, you know, they slapped on the logo. You know, it's almost like if they kind of photoshopped and just cut out, you know, a picture of Ray Lewis, put it behind like a white background. But like, it's a cool, like almost action shot of Ray Lewis. And also the guy was good back then. And it was, you know, his time to shine on the cover. I can understand if you wanted to sell like a special edition, you know, the GOAT edition, then yeah, you put two of the best quarterbacks in the league on there, you know, for that edition. I've actually always been a fan of the idea of what if like each year they pick one player from every team and make a cover, and you could personally, and even if it costs an extra $5 or $10, if you want, you know, if you wanted to get, I don't know, say us with the Bears, you know, we want David Montgomery or Khalil Mack or Allen Robinson on the cover. Like, I think that would be kind of unique, but at the end of the day, yeah, I don't know why it's not a different person every year. I mean, it's kind of ironic, Zach, because it's what we talked about in the podcast a year ago. Also, what we're going to talk about today and how it's the same. It's just indicative of the same recycled garbage that we get every single year. Even now, when we're on next gen consoles, where does the game look nice? Does it feel great? I would say so. I mean, yeah, I mean, go look up Madden 05, Madden 06, look up what the games looked like, the graphics and everything 15 years ago, you know, not as great as what they look now, but it's the other features and what's in, you know, some of those other looks that do make the game feel real, and whatnot. And actually that's something I'll ask you next too. Again, now that we're kind of full fledged, you know, a year into the new Xboxes and new PlayStations, are you excited to, you know, I know you're not planning on buying it, I'm not planning on buying it, but does it at least excite you to see what this game could potentially do on next gen consoles with graphics and the engine and everything? Or at the end of the day, is it still not a big deal because the game itself doesn't function 100%?
I would think that the future of sports titles, I would feel like you should be extremely excited for what is possible. I felt like, you know, like looking on the basketball side, I know 2K took a really massive leap with PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X consoles in terms of graphic fidelity, as well as player looks and interactions. That's a series, you know, as much as they've been just as sleazy as Madden, or at least in EA Sports's case, with microtransactions and focusing solely on, you know, where can I pull a quick buck? They at least still feel like they try to put some detail in. And I think that theirs is an example of what next gen could look like and what it can continue to develop as. Madden, I want to say, is the case, but I don't really, right now, Madden's more become a game that people buy it because it's the new rosters and the rookies come in, and maybe you see an upgrade to like a few animations of like fans and crowds, or maybe you get, I don't know, a little bit more polish on like the helmets and the jerseys, or maybe on the facial scans, if you will. But it doesn't really come off as next gen right now to me. The only reason I'm not as thrilled, and I know that it's a jump from, say, you look back at like Madden 05 or something like that, which that was the game I had growing up, and that's one of my favorite ones in terms of football games from EA. The other being NCAA Football 08, which I miss. I still love playing that one. But to look at least Madden 15 that I own and compare it to Madden 21 and even what I see on 22, from everything I research, everything I watch, everything I get explained to me about it, and even seeing it played, I don't see much of a jump in graphics for the last 7 years. It 15 really, to me, still looks almost as good as what you can get with 22. You know, it's not the same jump as what I was hoping, like when you saw Madden 05. And then, you know, I remember buying Madden, which Madden was, I think it was Madden 09 or 010, whichever one had Sean Alexander on it. I threw it into the console and I'm going, whoa, man, this is a jump, you know. And this was a PS3 game. Now I don't, from like PS4 to 5, you know, I'm I'm not impressed. You know, I don't take Madden and EA, at least their development team to me has kind of failed in terms of trying to make it seem like it's actually better tech. It doesn't feel like better tech. It feels like they make little tweaks to make you kind of distracted and that it perhaps looks new, or they add new graphics to the scoreboard, or they add new animations to the menus and little nuggets that, you know, to some people, cool, it looks brand new, but to anyone else, they're like, well, once we get into the gameplay, it looks kind of the same. You know, even animations are repeated. It doesn't really change.
Yeah, I think it was probably a stretch of, because I'm actually looking up some gameplay on YouTube as we're talking here, because I just want to see what each game has looked like over the years. It's like the stretch of Madden 07 to Madden 09. 07 is when Sean Alexander was on the cover. The stretch of those 3 years, those three games, the graphics definitely kind of, you know, received an overhaul from compared to what it looked like in like 05 and 06. So I would say it was probably, 2007 when the graphics started to change. But, you know, it's funny, you know, you mentioned basically how the cosmetics change, you know, how does the menu look? How does the scoreboard look when you're playing a game? They change that stuff every year or every couple of years. And I mean, cool. You know, it's kind of refreshing when the game changes looks. However, if that's the only noticeable difference, or those are the only things they're willing to change or evolve over time, but not the controls, not the animations, and, you know, the fact that they've, and I've complained about this all the time, they've taken out the options that create fans, and, you know, you can have them big fat guys without shirts on with face paint and paint on their bellies and stuff and hold them, you know, some kind of, you know, fan prop in their hand. You know, they take stuff like that away. You know, even though they didn't really have a fantastic halftime show, you know, they had cheerleaders that would come out and dance for like 5 seconds. They would have, you know, a better scoreboard and better stats to show like the summary of the first half of the game, or, you know, around the rest of the league. Like if you're playing franchise mode,
absolutely.
That stuff's gone, you know, they're preaching, you know, they're promoting how they're bringing back, making it feel like game day atmosphere again in the stadium. And okay, cool. That's fine. I mean, the stadiums look realistic. The fans, you know, again, I guess they're maybe looking a little bit better than what they've looked at in the past. It looked like in the past, but I, at the end of the day, I want to know what's, you know, what about the broadcast value of it? I know, you know, how are they
portraying, you know, what I miss here? A lot is from Madden 15. They had they had Phil Sims, and they also had the one that's with Tony Romo. I'm totally spacing right now.
I'm Googling, don't worry.
I'm going to kick myself because I should know this, right?
I think, right?
Yes, it's Jim Nance, and I'm sorry to those that even listen that you probably think I'm dumb. No, that is a brain fart. I love Jim Nance. He is in terms of buttery smooth voice, you know, I still prefer Al Michaels a little bit. But in terms of like, say, second place between like Mike Tirico and Nance is usually my number two. So sorry, folks, don't mean to be that way. However, 2015 had Jim Nance and Phil Sims as play-by-play and, you know, color commentating. And credit, I don't like Phil Sims as a color commentator, at least back then, you know, still mixed on Romo in terms of right now, but they spend a little money at least to get them in the game, and it actually makes it feel real because that's what you hear on Sunday. And if I'm trying to replicate that feel on Madden, just generic announcer A usually calling the plays and really being the only one to call the plays anymore doesn't do it for me. Or I wish that the game had some touches from the past. Like, they don't do music tracks anymore. There's no soundtracks that really get you jazzed when you're trying to go through the menus or things like that. They used to spend money on that stuff. They don't. There used to actually be, if you played franchise mode, there was a weekly radio show that they used to put into the game that would update you on certain comings and goings of the league or talk about your team. And they axed that, you know, several years ago.
They are just bringing back a little radio thing with Rich Eisen, actually.
And that's fine. I mean,
but
that's
we'll
good.
See how it is, though. You know, just because you throw it in there doesn't mean anything. You know,
but again, if they can spend on Rich Eisen, I mean, I would have rather the radio show is less than I would have rather Jim Nance, Phil Sims, or like some combination. You know, used to have Al Michaels and John Madden for Christ's sake, but We don't get those that
anymore.
Were
the days. Yeah, yes, those were a long time ago. But that was actually really cool. That Madden himself.
I would like the announcers. I want it to feel like it's actually what I see on Sunday. You know, even like get low tier guys. I don't need to hear. You know, I don't like Ian Eagle would be fine. Like, can we get him? You know, that's someone that I enjoy thoroughly listening to on most Fox broadcasts. Why not get him? He's probably not going to be as expensive as Jim Nance. You know, if you're worried about rates and pay and expenditures on your game,
the thing that's frustrating, Zach, is that it's you know, it's great to, you know, go back and talk about, you know, the old games, go through the nostalgia. It's cool, but it's also frustrating because it's like if they had create a fan, if they had more in game, before game, halftime, post game features and presentations and a little radio show as you're sifting through the menu or going through whatever mode you're in, going through that menu, all these elements they had in the game 15 years ago are no longer present. And again, it doesn't seem like they brought them back. I don't know. It doesn't look like referees are on the field at all times. No, the referees used to throw penalty flags too. You'd see the little flag go up.
There's
none of that. You know, it's, you know, I remember even what it was, Chris Berman, I think in NFL 2K05 or whatever, the last time we really saw a competitor to Madden, he used to do the halftime show, and we know how legendary he is doing the weekly recaps during halftime of Monday Night Football games, even in real life to this day. And you actually recently like rebought that game. I saw you were tweeting about it. Have you actually sat down and played it since you bought it? And yeah. what do you comparing that game to Madden? And I know it's kind of tough because of the age gap between them now, but like, what did that game have that you wish Madden would have? And what did it feel like going back and playing that game?
Well, I have a blast with it. It's first off, I love getting all the retro and in terms of old rosters and players that you just kind of get brought back to like just remembering a little bit. That's fun. Gameplay wise, if I'm not talking nostalgia type of things that I'm like drawn to, I don't know. It feels like it's more of a challenge, and it's actually, you know, a game that makes you think like you are trying to, you know, use the controls properly and that you're trying to understand how football works, and players act like they know how football works for the most part. So, you know, things do feel like you earn what you get on the field. You know, it doesn't feel like you're exploiting, you know, improper programming, or if you're exploiting just coverages that don't work correctly on defense and for offense. You know, it feels like that, or at least offensively, you feel like you have to know what is being used on every play. So, you know, I love the gameplay. The franchise mode's very in-depth, just what you expect. You can go into every aspect of you wanted your team and change it, from contracts to trades to, you know, you can go full drafts, of course. You can do stadium modifications and things like that. I mean, the ESPN touch was nice. It's really, as I say, I want to feel like it's Sunday and that I'm playing a game that is as close to what I can get off the field. And for 2004, when that was released, that's pretty good, especially Chris Berman handling a halftime show. You get statistics laid out. It looks like it's the ESPN graphics on the screen. You know, he goes through plays. Credit, you know, in 04 was still clunky to kind of seamlessly transition audio together, but they did it and it worked well, you know. And I feel like EA could do stuff like this. And considering how simplistic the PS2 is compared to what we have now, that's also what to me doesn't make sense, is so many of these functions you could add in. One part of the 2K5 that's really cool, it just keeps adding on layers upon layers upon layers of just stuff. You have like virtual reality football, or first person football, where they put you inside the helmet. You have to play the game from the position where you're playing first person football, as if like you're lining up linebacker on the field in real life. And they tried their best to simulate that. It was awkward, but it was unique and clever. And it was just something that was like, here's the thing that we can sell the game with. And it was kind of cool. It didn't work fully, but it was neat. Or the crib, where you can basically customize your own house. And, you know, in your franchise, you have like awards for how well you play the game. And like, you could challenge celebrities. Yes, they look at celebrities phone call you in and you could play them. Like, for example, I'm playing this game and I get a call from the crib from Carmen Electra, and you can call her. She challenges you to a game. And here's the kicker, Will. You play the game. First off, she has this like ridiculously like level 100 team fully. It's Carmen Electra's team. The jerseys and helmets have electrical lightning all over them, you know, to play on her last name there. And also, she makes quips as if she's sitting next to you playing couch co-op. So if you play well, and if like you burn her defense deep or something, the audio will drop. Her like headshot comes up, and like something she recorded will like basically be like, not in these words, but go like, "What the hell, man?" And you're gonna get thrown for a loop. But the entire game's like that. Or if she scores, she like celebrates. And this is all the celebrity things too. And that's just another feature. It's just they jammed all these games back then with so much stuff to do. And that was with limited tech. And I think that's what gets disappointing is like 05. Many people have high regard for it and consider it the best because it rounded out everything that a football game should be with the limited technical capability. And people thought that we could go better places from here. And somehow regression took place, mostly for capital and monetistic gains from industry habits in the video game world, such as microtransactions and things alike. So just shows you where we've come. Football games, I think, are kind of a great highlight for how the video game industry has changed too. And awkward and disturbing benchmark to me.
Yeah, we're going to get to that here in a second, because I already told you one of the things I want to talk about that actually kind of, you know, ticks me off about this game. But we'll lead up to that here with this, that, you know, for those that are, you know, wondering about information on, you know, what the game's adding and whatnot, you know, because we've hinted to that before too. You know, and to be fair, we last year when we did the last episode on this, we were harsh on, you know, the issues and the changes that needed to happen with franchise mode. They are adding some new addition. They're adding things, changing things. You're able to, there's an improvement to coaching staffs. You're able to fire and hire, you know, a head coach, your offensive coordinators and whatnot. There's going to be a more advanced version of scouting for, you know, when you're trying to scout prospects leading up to the draft throughout the season. There's press conferences, there's skill trees now, and more progression systems for, I think, not only players, but I think also these coaches that you hire.
Yeah.
There's more like the weekly strategy and planning gets a little bit more deeper with what you could do. There's a dynamic scenario engine because, again, franchise mode, you're running the team. So, you know, you're going to have, you know, stuff that happens in real life, issues with players, issues with, you know, probably with like even like reporters, you know, the press conferences, you probably, you know, will have to answer questions and stuff. You know, whether that's really cool to do or not, I guess it does add a little bit more to it, which I always do appreciate. Hopefully it's just a little bit well thought out. Before I get into my complaint, because there is something that Madden's now doing that's just like most video games today that could be in its own podcast too, but just based off of some of these things I'm listing, I mean, do you think this is enough stuff to maybe revamp franchise mode, or is there anything else that you would have liked to have seen added or revamp?
I think they're moving in the right direction because they finally, I think people made their voice clear last year that you can't keep just selling the same thing or taking stuff away without getting repercussions. Credit Madden itself, in terms of EA Sports, did tout that they had apparently the most revenue out of the game they had in previous iterations. But the negative reviews that also came from big sites that actually cover the games and generally give them positive reviews over the years, I think that was big enough for them to say, okay, we need to start doing stuff. And I think that they are kind of trying. Like I said, the franchise stuff, I think people made enough ruckus to where they said, all right, we need to do this. But my question is, you know, I hope it's not that 1 year everyone gets angry and then we forget about it because they do a little bit to kind of like silence a few people. I think the hope is that you see stuff that's still happening that they haven't fixed. Like, example, they still use, as some people talk about, they use heavy animations in the game, which means that the engine for it will just read a situation that a character's in and it'll try and throw them into a tackle animation or a stiff arm animation or, you know, things like that. It basically is predetermining certain outcomes is what it is, rather than being physics-based or, you know, more reactionary and more logical. And I hope that EA looks at that and tries. It's just that it's so easy when you're such a big company like EA and when you have the exclusive deal with the NFL. And they, of course, extended that, by the way, to 2026, they can just kind of slowly do it. They don't have to speed this up. You know, I wish that ESPN's NFL 2K series still existed just so that we could have that and maybe see what would have been. Although it's funny because the whole reason we're in this mess is because of ESPN NFL 2K, because little history lesson, folks, for that don't know about this, the game released at the time for $20. It was released before Madden 05. Most of the games were selling for $60 at that time. And they just released it for $20 and said, hey, we'll stuff the game to the gills with stuff. We'll make it cheap so that people can buy the hell out of it and prove to you that we are making a better game and that it's not just the brand. Because at that time, they were making a game comparable to Madden. It's just that people were buying it because Madden is a bigger name and it was making more of the sales. That year, it actually outsold systems. It actually outsold units on Xbox and almost beat out Madden sales on PS2, which was the bigger draw because PS2 at that time was the de facto console and it's the highest selling console of all time. So, you know, just to show you how popular that system was to sell games, that ties into it. So because of that, and because they undersold a NFL product for $20, the NFL looked at it and said, oh, our product's cheap. Our product's not high quality because we undersold it to the lowest bidder. And the NFL decided to look at, and EA looked at each other and went, let's just make a deal so that we can sell this game at a full price without having to deal with people underselling our stuff and making it look like cheap crap because of the pricing or because we can undercut the value of the brand. Because, you know, the NFL is all about the brand, right? Anything that devalues the brand is not good for business. So that being said, ESPN NFL 2K5 got the axe and didn't see 2K6 because they devalued the brand, even though the game is still recognized to many as the best game in the simulation football community ever made. So the NFL is a lot to blame for this here. And to wrap this around, I don't completely give faith that EA is going to be rapidly fixing the game anytime soon, because they still can do whatever the hell they want because they're the only one. As long as they don't piss off the big guy upstairs, and I'm talking the NFL, not God, Jesus. If it was the God, he already would be mad. Like if the holy Roger Goodell doesn't bust down EA's doors in California and start getting all riled up, they're cool. The NFL just wants to see profits generated and that their name gets spread around. That's why they hype it up so much too. They don't have to worry about it. They have one company that they got to go to. They don't got to worry about anyone else devaluing the brand, which is exactly why this keeps going. Now, the hope is that people get pissed off still. The NFL finally says, oh, EA, you're now devaluing the brand. And that maybe we keep seeing the trend of them being a little more loose with these games, because 2K is going to be releasing an arcade game for the NFL, arcade style. I hope it's closer to simulation, but it's arcade-y, because if it takes off, if people buy it, hopefully you see the NFL understand and realize, hey, maybe we made a mistake 17 years ago, and perhaps other guys should make our game so that we can better represent the game that we're trying to pump up to the public. Just makes sense to me. And EA doesn't have to do much because they're making all the money and the NFL's in their corner. So who cares? That's why this all started in this case. And that's why I'm still not confident, even though you see these changes, as long as the criticism is still valid and you aren't buying off reviews or you aren't trying to kind of like promote the hell out of it to ignore people that actually have legitimate criticisms, then it's not going to change much. You know, I think that this is just the franchise additions helped, but you have to keep on EA and saying, okay, what else are you going to give me? We're talking here. Keep giving us stuff. You can do this, right? You know, you have the capabilities. Don't walk away from me. You got to keep doing the stuff you promised. That's up to the consumer. And I hope that the consumer, like myself, like you, like those that want to play the game or those that do, and, you know, they don't like it because it's the only game on the market, hold them accountable. I worry about the accountability people will hold because it's the only game. So some people are just like, well, it's the only game, plays well enough. Screw it. I don't need to worry about it. My hope is people do worry about it and demand better. We'll find out.
More episodes of Windy City Sports Talk can be found on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast as well. We now return to Windy City Sports Talk.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet, Zach, that God himself is not very happy if he's got a console up there and is playing Madden. I bet he's not too happy with the way Madden's been these days either. But I mean, great analysis, great point there. It's when you talk about, you know, Madden having to deal with the NFL and kind of really being the face of the franchise. Well, it's face of football because there's not really any other games out there. However, supposedly NFL 2K is scheduled to make a return next year. Two-part question here, and I'll make it brief here so it makes sense. First part is, what are your thoughts on that 2K series coming back? And two, the fact that they are coming back, how important is it for EA to make Madden 22 a solid game and kind of change the whole public opinion about the franchise as a whole, now that, again, there may be a competitor coming on the market soon?
I think, at least in terms of 2K being back, you have to EA and in the NFL made it very clear when they announced that it is not simulation, and that the whole exclusivity of the simulation part is what matters the most. So first off, EA has to be at least thinking about it, where it's going, okay, we might need to start worrying, because the NFL is starting to experiment and loosen up on certain items, which the NFL doesn't like in the way that it does business at times. It doesn't like changing rapidly. This is one of those cases where it's completely fine with it, because what does it matter? So the fact that they even said, okay, 2K can make a game now, it's arcade, but it's a game, that opens the door for saying, okay, say this 2K game sells really well, people revolt and they go to 2K and they go, you know what, this isn't fully simulation, but neither was Madden. It didn't feel like simulation to me anyway. They're all arcade in my eyes. So we'll play the arcade game, and say the arcade game sells decently well. Or what would be in many people's eyes, and myself, which I would love, is if somehow the arcade game rivaled Madden NFL 22. Hard to do, or, well, I guess it wouldn't be NFL 22, but it'd be like next year, I believe it is when they're possibly releasing it, or they're starting development on it for 22 or 23. Anyway, whichever version it goes against, you hope that it sells well enough to where it raises eyebrows and goes, wow, this is actually pretty good. And it's, you know, it's doing things that I wasn't expecting or was hoping that Madden would do. You know, it's not like Madden doesn't have arcade modes. They actually do. So, you know, if it challenges in that front, who's to say that maybe they can make a good simulation game? Or who's to say that maybe it starts splitting money away from EA's audience and people start raising eyebrows and going, oh yeah, this game actually kind of is bad. Maybe we should look at 2K and them putting quality into their product and making us feel like it's worth it and that it's actually loving football. Then you worry about it. I think EA does have to look at that and say, they opened the door, we can't let them fully swing it open, because they only have till 2026 now to either reestablish and fix their brand, which they have runway for, but, you know, can they fix their engine and the flaws they have in that time, to be determined, you know, company politics being part of that, as well as, you know, just tech in general. And then, you know, does the audience let them do that? Because they have a shorter time frame to keep people there going, hey, we're fixing this, guys, we're not screwing this up, you know, because the hardcore people can leave first. And then the casual fans are the ones, if you start getting them swayed over to 2K, that's going to be hard, I think, to sway them back to Madden if you have a product that's really good. So they're going to see it as a threat. This is a legitimate threat, Will. I mean, I don't not say right now, not the first game, but if people buy it and buy it well, the NFL is a money-making business, and it's of course, profitability is number one above all, much more than any other sports league in the world. And if they see this as a way of saying, we can make more dollars in the video game space, they'll open the door wider and 2K will get a better talks and agreements with the NFL, you know, and got to remember too, this is a different 2K than it was back in 2004. 2004, this was Sega running this game. This is now 2K as in the company running this in a completely different space. So this would be opening up new doors to a different company that had the similar tech and same at least developers in terms of visual concepts that they could reopen those doors to. So yeah, EA's got to worry about it because they didn't have to worry about really anything in terms of their main competitors in other sports coming back. I mean, remember one thing, 2K and its rise has kind of killed off NBA Live. Like NBA Live doesn't exist anymore because EA got stagnant with building the game. They got behind because 2K Sports was just that good at developing their product in recent years. And where's NBA Live now? It's basically dead to most people. You don't want to see EA lose Madden. That is their bread and butter moneymaker in the sports world, besides FIFA. And I guarantee you, if 2K gets any chance of jumping in again, they will make them look silly, especially how bad the game's been the last 3 years. They will make them look like dumbasses. And I add that term in to emphasize how bad EA has effed up with people in recent years. Yes, they're making money on microtransactions, but you keep getting poor will towards the consumer. That doesn't continue to happen where revenues grow. Eventually, you are going to screw up. Do not keep going this direction if you want to keep the friendliness of the NFL on your side.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, they are messing with people. People are getting upset. I mean, I've been playing Madden for literally, I'm not kidding when I say probably, you know, 16 or 17 years. I started playing with my dad and, you know, I've been playing since probably 2003. You know, the early games, I probably spent more time in just because being a kid at the time, you got more time to play. But like, again, if the games from 10, 15 years ago are better than where we're at now, it's just really sad and really unfortunate in my opinion. And, you know, maybe this is a good thing though, that 2K is going to come around and make a game again. Maybe it does light the fire under the developers at EA, and also competition maybe is good for both sides. So I'm curious to see what happens. I think it definitely is worth keeping an eye on 2K if they are truly coming back next year. Something I wanted to get into with, you know, kind of going back on the features and everything that this game's having and why it's so similar, frustratingly similar to the gaming as a whole today. As we know, there's a lot of games out there today that are basically like a live service. They release the game, they, you know, will come out with DLC or other content or battle passes or whatever over time. It's just multiple ways to come out with more content to keep the game basically, you know, the longevity up there. You haven't really gotten that with sports games. What they give you is what they give you. There may be patches and stuff to upgrade, you know, update bugs and things like that, which is cool. And EA's done that with Madden and whatnot, the other sports games they do as well. However, there's like legit pieces of content to franchise mode that they're not going to add like right away. And what upsets me the most is they aren't like that. Some of the stuff I told you about a few minutes ago, the scouting isn't coming in until a later update. The trade, the improvements and the updated trade logic isn't coming until a later update. The game may be out for 2 or 3 months before they add that stuff in. You know how many people will probably have two or three seasons of franchise mode or like done in 2 or 3 months? Maybe, you know, hardcore Madden players, maybe they play multiple seasons. Why is that? The game comes out once a year. Why is that not integrated into the game when it releases here in August in a few days? Why is that something that's going to come in, you know, in a few months from now? I think that's one of the most frustrating things, is that franchise mode looks promising this year, but what the hell is the point of adding the rest of the integral systems of that mode when the game's 3 or 4 months old, when it's, there's just, to me, there's no point. I was curious to get your thoughts on that. Like, what do you think?
It's the I think part of this goes into the backlash of what happened with Madden 21. I think if we're looking at how EA had been conducting its business, how it was neglecting franchise at that point, I think this was kind of a blowback. I didn't think they expected a hashtag of fix Madden franchise to blow up in its face the way it did last late summer. And it did. And I think some of this delay in adding features is part of what resulted last year with them trying to play catch up, where they're going, okay, we were kind of cool with doing our thing right now, but obviously there are people that are pretty angry. And considering that the internet, you can, you know, you can review bomb and you can make the ratings go down like crazy on this game. And, you know, now it's got a bad reputation and it's publicly known at this point. I think they finally had to say, we have to actually work on these things now. And I think you had every sports game, I think you lay out plans for the next year in advance anyway, where you're like, well, here's maybe some new thing we can add. Because this is the way EA has worked the last 3 years, is they want to add some new feature that kind of draws you in. This year, it's the stadium home crowd, home field advantages, like those special effects that they have. That's like, well, this is what the crowd does here at this stadium, or here's what the stadium advantage gives you at, like, say, Soldier Field, which I don't know what it is at the moment. I know they should.
I think it's kicking. Off. The kicking? Wind, ironically no, enough.
If right? it is, that's, I mean, yeah, go figure. Not surprised doing the Windy City thing. But, you know, that's the big draw this year they've been pushing is stadium advantages, home field advantages are better than ever before in Madden. Did we ask for this? Are there things they could fix? Yeah, there are. But it's a new thing that distracts the general public, or I'd say casual fans that are just looking for something that's an add-on that they play the main core game of, like, I play a computer. Or I play competitive, you know, I don't focus on franchise. So when a bunch of people caught on to the franchise last year and finally said enough is enough and stomped their foot down, and other people agreed and stomped their foot down, I think they finally said, crap, people now notice we have to fix this. And so now they're playing not only catch up, but they're trying to implement their own plans and play catch up to things that they should have been doing in the first place. So you see why they're adding stuff later is because, well, our main focus this year was to hype up the stadiums and the new looking graphics and the Amazon Web Services that replicate player movements somehow. And then we're adding franchise stuff later because, you know, we had to focus on these first things first. Then we'll give you the franchise bits afterward. And to me, it kind of is useless because the main draw to buying Madden, I think, for if you're buying it new, is to play it to get updated player ratings through the season as they progress, because every week Madden upgrades their play, or they'll update the game for player ratings sake. And you'll want new player ratings. They keep up with the scores in the season and they adjust as needed to that year. So by the time February rolls around, anything past that to me is completely useless to buying Madden unless you just want the gameplay. Because any other year of Madden, you can buy it just for gameplay. You know, buying a new Madden to me is mainly for new rosters, which some you can get in old games and people do it for you, or to keep up with the season as you play the game. So adding in franchise after the year's over is kind of, unless I really love Madden 21 or Madden 20 or Madden 22 or whatever you're playing, yeah, I'm going to probably just chill and wait till the next iteration at that point. Because then it will be in there and they'll supposedly perfected it in Madden 23 or whenever it goes. So it feels kind of wasted. And I think that, like I said, they haven't gotten out of the woods with this. They're still going to fix it. People know it's a problem now. It's not just a sect of fans that used to love the old games. It's now fans that play these games on regular and are upset that EA has done this. And I think that they do their own roadmap, and this was kind of a big speed bump or kind of something that was a hazard thrown in their way, and they didn't see it coming, and now they're forced to do it, because if they don't do it, keeps on going ticking downward on public opinion, which, again, if you upset public opinion and people buy your stuff less and revenues go down, again, the big guy up top that gave you your exclusive deal is going to see you're losing money. And the NFL is not a money-losing business, because They just don't do it. Anything that trends downward, the NFL tries to fix immediately. It's just how the business of football works in terms of the National Football League. They won't wait around. You know, they got a deal, but they will not wait around for you that long. Maybe a season, but you don't have much time. You know, not when owners are trying to fill their pockets more often than not and at a much faster rate than not than other sports leagues in this world.
You know, here's the thing, Zach. I don't give them the opportunity to even get all the content in by February. This game has the 12-month lifespan before they come out with the next one. Time is so key. And if I'm spending $60 on this game, I want the content right away. Like, if there was a bug or a glitch or they had to do some kind of patch to fix an issue with the scouting or with the, you know, the whatever, if there's anything wrong with drafting or free agency or the coaching or the, you know, weekly gameplay stuff, if there was any kind of bug that needed to get fixed in franchise mode, I can understand patches needing to come out later on, but I don't understand. They never did this before. They never had, oh, well, we'll add better trade logic. And I don't even know what that means. Does that mean that trading is going to be standard form and then it's going to get an enhanced version? Or like, what happens if I'm three seasons in the franchise mode? It's one thing to play the game for a couple of months and not have it, but will I be able, like, do I have to restart franchise mode? It's like some of that information they haven't even come out yet with, like, if I'm three seasons into the mode, am I going to have to restart in order for that stuff to be added in? You know, the odds are some tells me it's probably not, but still I'm uneasy as a consumer, not knowing what they're going to do yet. And again, like I said, it has a 12-month life cycle. There's no reason why that content can't be in the game at launch. And I think it's because they're getting so distracted with all this extra stuff. You know, there's a lot of online modes now. Ultimate Team's been around for a while. They've brought back Face of the Franchise, their attempt at doing like a My Player mode. There's other online game modes like The Yard, Superstar KO, which I played those a little bit in 21 when I did play for a short time. And some of that I think was in 20 as well. It is cool. It's unique. And for those that want to game online and play with friends, whether cooperatively or competitively, that's cool. The game has a ton of content. It has way more content than what it had like 5 years ago. I'll give them that. That's a plus on EA. But if we're going to sacrifice your core game modes from really, I think, your hardcore fan base just to entice people. And again, that's where all the money is probably now, you know, online, you know, microtransactions and stuff. That's how a lot of these games are pushing to make money, even after, you know, the $60 sale to get, you know, to purchase the game. That's where everything's going. And then also we're in this weird time, and this will lead up to the last question. We're also in this weird time where, you know, we go into a next gen console and there's certain features to the new Xbox and the new PlayStation that the game will get on those consoles rather than like the PS4, PS4 or the Xbox One. So basically we're making two editions of the game too. So the fact that they have next gen things implemented in the next gen version of the game, and then the fact that there's all this multiplayer and all this extra stuff, which again, isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think they just, honestly, they're just too overwhelmed. The developers are too overwhelmed. That's just too much to work on. You can't really fully, I guess, finish and polish and groom, you know, one or two modes when there's like 10 different things you have to add on. So I guess I'll just end with this, Zach. Do you think this is kind of the reason why we're having issues with, with even Man 2022 and like with this big gripe of mine that I just brought up, is just the fact that the game, these developers are just kind of overworked and have their hands full because of next gen differences and because of these extra modes? You think that's maybe what's the culprit here?
Well, it adds on to it. I think that you have to learn a whole new system on a new dev kit when you're publishing these games, or, well, developing these games. Publishing's a different side, but you have to learn whole new dev kits for multiple systems first off. And then secondly is that, you know, some of the stuff I understand with how Madden has been since 2013 is that they changed how the game runs after Madden 2012. 2013, they put in a new engine which at that time was like EA Ignite before they switched to Frostbite years later. And they changed a bunch of things in that engine, but with that, they also removed a bunch of features. And since then, they've been trying to work with two different engines that still don't play the game completely well. And they're tinkering with that while also having to do a game a year. And the hardware is getting harder to develop for each year because, you know, it takes much more power and processing to do these games correctly. There's much more resource intensive functions in these games across the video gaming landscape as you go on. And it's only going to get worse because that's how technology is. It wants to keep pushing forward. And it's only going to get more graphic intensive and it's going to get more resource intensive as you continue on. So you have to focus on all those items while also fixing bugs. And you have a community complaining about removing features. Credit, they did it this year and they're going to be focusing on franchise again and getting stuff back in. They still have a long way back to the glory days, is what many say. And they have a lot of stuff to deal with. You know, not to mention that you as a developer are at the mercy of the publisher, who really is more just about the bottom line at that point. You know, what's really making the money for them? A publisher's not going to look at franchise mode and say, that's making our money. You know, what's really making the money is Madden Ultimate Team or anything that has a microtransaction. So the publisher will pressure you to focus on the microtransactions, anything that adds income post purchase. That'll be your one thing they'll focus on. You know, obviously the dev team can put its own goals. So I'm imagining, for example, franchise mode was a dev team focused addition that they said, hey, this is what we want to add in and fix because people want to look at our game in a better light again. And, you know, this is what people are getting upset about. So, you know, I think a rebuild would have been nice, but you're at a disadvantage because you're in an industry that, in terms of sports gaming, that demands yearly releases, and it would be awkward to not do so. So unless you can build a new engine on the side, which is what, you know, people hope they are on the side and that they do, then kind of stuck. And to add on to what they use now, Frostbite engine, which Frostbite has been around for a bit. It was used actually in Battlefield, for Christ's sake, as its main engine for its first person shooter. It was developed by Battlefield's developer, which I'm forgetting right DICE. Now. There we go. DICE. It was developed by DICE. Thank you very much. I haven't played Battlefield in a while, as you can tell. I used to be a big guy with that, but EA uses this engine as kind of a like throw in cost effective measure because, well, if it works for graphics and makes it look great, we can develop in this and I bet we can make a sports game in it. And it's kind of what they did a few years back. They hyped up Frostbite as this big innovation, but it kind of also threw off some things for them because EA wanted to make it streamlined in terms of how you develop across your gaming platforms. And so this is what they did. Unless they do and rebuild an engine and spend money on it, I don't know if EA will do that anytime soon either. I think that publishing wise, they'll almost force EA Tiburon to just stick with what they got. So you're kind of stuck. I hope that they fix the issues, but I think a lot of people wish they could just rebuild the game from the ground up and that they could make it, say, physics-based. You know, tackle animations actually make sense, and not even just animations, just make them tackles because of physics. You know, you redevelop the engine entirely if you can, but it's going to be kind of hard. I think between the age of the engine or between the engine that they're using and the politics of the company they work under, you're kind of stuck. It's hard to say what you could do unless you find the time or you overwork yourself, but you know, that's a cost-cutting measure that's going to be hard to remove.
Yeah. You know, I'm not even like totally against the engine. I think they do kind of hype it up. Like they think it's something spectacular, and Frostbite is a nice engine.
It's gorgeous. It is gorgeous for other games.
You know? Yeah. Is it the best thing for Madden? I would say not. And again, the graphics are one thing, but I think it's the rest of the gameplay presentation and everything else that goes along with it. But at the end of the day, I think the game just doesn't unfortunately provide enough. And like I said, I think my biggest drawback with 2022 this year, and probably a big reason why I'm not buying it, is I don't want to, if it plays and feels just like 21, I'm not interested. But mostly if I'm going to go in there and primarily play franchise mode, and you're not going to have these modes in the game for, or some of these integral parts, like I just brought up, for a couple of months, even if it's not, even if they come out in September, October, I just think it's ridiculous that I'm going to be one or two seasons at least through franchise mode, and I'm not going to be able to experience what the game truly is. I think that kind of content needs to be in there. And ultimately, I think the game is going to be a little bit better than 21, but I don't think it's going to be a major success. And I'm willing to bet I'll be able to download it on Xbox Game Pass here probably within the first 3 months it's out. And so, okay, I lied. I just gave my thoughts on how I think the game's going to, how the game's going to come out, you know, what's the success of it. And that's what I'll finish off with asking you, Zach, is if you had to make a prediction, because you know me, I love doing predictions on this podcast.
Sure.
How do you think this game's going to pan out? Is it going to be better than 21 or about the same?
I think it's better than 21 because they're at least, it looks like they're trying. It looks like they are at least making a concerned effort to do so. So you're, as long as, I mean, the gameplay is still needs improvement from what I know, but the functionality, the features, that's going to make it instantly better than Madden 21. Just the fact that franchise has things coming back and that they're adding them, that's fine. So that alone, I think, makes it better. Gameplay, I don't really know. They, like I said, they have the whole Amazon Web Services thing that supposedly makes the movements a little bit more realistic and all that jazz, but it's still animation based. And it's still like, I still see, at least up to launch and currently as people are playing the trial, consistent, like just animation glitches that are typical of what Madden's been the last few years. So not confident on that end, but I think it'll be a better game just in terms of functions that people want. And as long as people keep being adamant about the fact that they need to improve it and still have work to do, and that they don't give EA a pass, then I think it keeps moving that way. That's all you can hope for. And that's all you can do as a consumer, is to keep voicing your opinion and what you don't like and what would make you come back if you're like myself, where you're just like, I still don't think this is worth my money. You know, keep telling me, keep giving feedback and, you know, telling people what's up. It'll be a better game this year, but like I've mentioned, there are the flaws that persist from 21 in terms of gameplay aspects that just make me say, I will punch on ESPN NFL 2K5 this season and I'll play that. I think I'll have a better experience doing that still.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say we're both going to be keeping an eye on 2K to see what they do, if they're truly going to come out with a game next year. They've talked about it. They said it's coming next year. They haven't gone into a whole lot of detail. I'm sure the pandemic has maybe kind of screwed up some things too with development, you know, and maybe that's why it's coming out next year instead of this year. We're definitely going to see how that goes. And also I think it just, I'll play this game if it comes out on Game Pass, but the odds are I'm just going to avoid it. Just, you know, like I said, I think ultimately, I think what they need to do going forward is, and even if these changes this year are successful, I think the big thing is they're going to have to just find a way to divide and conquer with their staff. You know, so there's got to be people that can dedicate time to strictly franchise mode, so you don't have what's happening this year happen again. All the parts of the mode need to be in the game at launch. Extra content that comes from the multiplayer modes, that's fine. You're always developing, creating, and releasing new stuff. That's fine. But stuff that's part of a game mode that for the whole history of the game, the franchise of the game itself, there's no excuse for that stuff to be cut out of the game and have to come in updates and stuff later on. I think that's quite silly, but we'll see what happens here in a few days, Zach, when it releases, to get really the majority of the public's opinion on this game then. And we'll see what happens. But thank you so much for coming on. I figured it was good to kind of do a follow-up episode. We went down memory lane last year with the game and criticized 21. It's kind of curious, you know, it's always nice to kind of bridge the gap, connect the two sides to see, you know, where they're going forward now. But thank you again for coming on. It's always great to have you on. I know I owe you some frequent flyer miles still, but you know, I'm going to be having you on at some point to talk Bears. So
yeah, no, I'm happy to be talking with you again. I've already been excited with how preseason's gone for week one, so I could talk that all day. Got week two coming up, of course, against the Bills, to see more of you know who that everyone's excited about in Chicago.
Mitch.
Coming back. Yes, the homecoming that we all definitely asked for. So I'm excited for that. And I'm telling you right now, I'm already trying to pick which game I want to go to anyway. So I'll let you know which one I'm going to. I think it's the Cardinals game, December 5th. Going back to Soldier Field. We'll see.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to. I got a couple I'm going to this year. I'm going to be going to the first one will be home opener against the Bengals. So if Andy Dalton is the quarterback, I guess I get to see the revenge game against his former team. It's the only time I guess maybe I'll put up with seeing him play, but we'll save that discussion for another day. But it was fun to see Justin Fields out there last Saturday in a Bears uniform for the first time. But thanks again to Zach for coming on this podcast. Thank you all for listening. As always, if you want to hear the episode that talks more about our general feelings and the overview of the Madden franchise over the years, go check out that podcast. There's definitely a lot more in-depth discussion with a couple of our good friends, Yash P and Cody Emerson as well, joined in on that discussion. And yes, football content coming up next. Also, I do have to begin some Bulls talk in there too. I know I'm still trying to catch up from being out of town and everything with the summer going on, but there is Bulls talk coming up with this newly vamped team. Also got some great football content coming up for the Bears and just NFL stuff as a whole. So thank you always for listening, everybody. Subscribe, like, follow, and more great content is on the way now that football season is here. So thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Windy City Sports Talk. To find more great episodes, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast on Anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Overcast, and Radio Public. Thanks again for listening, and be well.